Good to be with you this morning. It's always a joy to come down and be with you folks and thank the Lord for you. I appreciate friends. The older you get, the more you appreciate friends. And I'm just glad to be with you and we're thankful for you. Just thankful to the Lord for what He does for us and what He has done and is also that which He's going to do. So we thank Him and look to Him. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the 12th chapter of the book of John. And we'll take just a few minutes upon these couple of verses in the 12th chapter of the book of John. Familiar verse, but it's a little different from what I've heard over the years, and I want to look at it this morning. The Lord said, verse 32, if I be lifted up from the earth, what's going to happen? He says, I will draw all unto me. Men is in italics. I will draw all unto me. Now, verse 33, this he said, signifying what death he should die. Now, the lifting up that he's talking about is his death, isn't it? That's the lifting up. And that's his death on the cross. He knew that he was going to be lifted up, and that's why he came into this world. That was the whole point of coming into this world, was going to the cross and being lifted up. And he says, surely as I am lifted up, I'll draw all unto me. He was lifted up. We see him as a sufferer. We see him as a surety as he was lifted up. And we know that he was lifted up on behalf of his church. The crucifixion, we know several things about it. Our Lord, as he died, crucifixion was was meant for the very worst of the worst, wasn't it? And here our Lord was perfect, no sin, but yet he underwent that of crucifixion. We see him being nailed to that of the cross, his hands and his feet, and we see that one of the ways that they did, they laid the cross down and they nailed the person to it, then they had the hole and they would drop them right in that hole. And you know how that would be painful to that of the very body, the torture. But we see this suffering that it was on account of that of his church. He went to the cross and this meant our salvation. And it's the eternal salvation of that of his people. He took responsibility. That's one of the things I think about when I read the scripture of our Lord. He took responsibility for us. How that he came for us. And how that he went to the cross. How that he did all of this on the church's behalf. And he voluntarily submitted unto it. He came. The Bible talks about that he could have called 12 legions of angels. Well, you remember in the garden, he just spoke and they all fell backward. He voluntarily submitted to that of the cross. He did that to rescue us from hell itself. We see God's vengeance upon sin. We see that there's an eternal wrath upon sin. And yet we see our Lord Jesus Christ coming and going to the cross, being lifted up there. The Bible says He is made a little lower than angels over in the book of Hebrews for the suffering of death. And as we see Him, none other was qualified. None other would have been enough. It had to be the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that sin came in human form as Adam sinned. And we see that Christ took upon Himself Abraham's seed. He was made like His brethren, without sin. He was to suffer what the law demanded. And the law says, pay. If you break me, pay. And that's what justice demanded. And now we see the Lord Jesus Christ being lifted up. I submit unto you today this: if He was not lifted up, there'd be no salvation. It's essential for the salvation of every soul that Christ be lifted up on the cross. The Old Testament, the New Testament, you read Isaiah 53, you see the prophecies concerning Christ. And we know that God has highly exalted Him. He's lifted up, He's exalted, He has all authority. I like that verse where it says all power is given unto Him in heaven and earth. I like that this morning. And we see Him as He humbled Himself, and now He's the very head of the church. And this morning all matters of salvation is put in His hands. I wish our generation could see this. It's not in free will's hands. It's in God's hands. I came down the road this morning, and one place it says the Free Will, Baptist Free Will Church. I tell you, it's God's will. It's His will. He reigns. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. And the church is under that of His care. Where else had you rather it be than under Him, our Lord and Master? He's the one that supports it. And He's the one that manages that of the church. He has authority over it all. Turn over with me to John 17th chapter. And it's our Lord's prayer. As He begins this prayer, look at it. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. To God be the glory. Notice verse 2. Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. Now, is that true? Is this as true as it's written there? He has power over all flesh. Now, flesh, it could mean animal flesh. He has power over that, or it's human flesh. He has power over all flesh. That He should give eternal life. Now, a lot of people think that they get eternal life in different ways. Some think, well, if I work enough, God will be gracious and give me eternal life. If I'm good enough. So forth and so on. But here we know that Christ is a giver of eternal life. Now, where else are you going to get life? Brother Parker, where else are you going to get life? Only from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. He's going to give eternal life. And it goes on and says, this is eternal life, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. If you know him, that's eternal life, isn't it? So we see that he has power. And he has power over all things concerning us. We fret. I'm guilty. We worry. I'm guilty. And yet he has all power over everything pertaining to us. He has power over that which troubles us. Old Job put it this way. He said, man's a few days and full of troubles, didn't he? He has power over that which burdens us. Isn't it sometimes just hard to let go? And here's the Lord. He has the power. I was in the hospital one time back when I was 25 years old. But a few years now. And I was pretty down. My mother-in-law sent me a card while I was in the hospital. And the verse that was on that card was, cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You know, God sent it, it just like it was just, you know, just how it came, just meant for me that particular time. Cast your cares on me, for he cared. Cast your cares on the Lord, for he cared for you. Just think about how he cares for us. How precious it is. Now Paul's message here, as he proclaims the Lord Jesus Christ and his crucifixion, his message is always Christ. And as I've tried to preach these years, that's all I want my messages. I want to preach is the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord for what he's done. I thank the Lord for instilling in me what preaching was at an early age. And I've tried to set Christ forth. And Paul's message, as we see him in different places preaching, and we see his letters to the churches. Here's John's message, but as he wrote to us. But Paul wrote about Christ crucified and proclaiming his person, proclaiming his perfect work. Now, our Lord, everything that has to do with him is perfect. He had a perfect work. He has a finished redemption. We see him, and as he did his work, as he went to the cross, as he finished his work, he's now at the right hand of the Father. He's there exalted at the right hand. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is set forth and as our mediator. And I'm glad that we have one that we can go to God. We pray in his name, don't we? We pray in our mediator's name. He's our surety. He's our substitute. One that died for us. died in our place. He's our advocate. Now, it'd be good if you was in trouble that you hired a good lawyer. But think about sin's trouble. We have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never failed. You might pay $5,000 for a lawyer and he'll fail you. But Christ has never failed one of his yet. Oh, we're so grateful of that. The Bible sets him forth as our husband, sets him forth as the daysman, a brother, a friend. There's not another, it's only him. And he's unique. There's only one like him. And his work is perfect. His redemption is eternal. The Bible says, what has he obtained? An eternal redemption. That's the kind of redemption that we have. And the Bible says that we look unto him. It says, look unto me and be ye saved. Behold the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And we don't try to exalt ourselves, but we exalt him, Christ Jesus. He's lifted up as a sovereign over all. This morning, he's over all nations. I don't know how many believes that. It doesn't make any difference, but he's over all nations. He's over every empire. You go back, and what happens? He set up empires, he takes down empires. He's over all this morning. He's over the enemies. He's over the foes. All's under his control. And I like this. The psalmist said, the Lord reigneth. And he says it over two or three different times. He said, the Lord reigneth. Let the people rejoice. Now our text tells us that he says, I'm going to draw all unto me. Now, what's popular is, well, he preached Christ. And they say that he's going to draw everybody. That's what the universalists say. That he's going to draw everybody, but all's not going to come. But he's going to draw everybody. Some will, some will not. Well, I guess that means that some's stronger than the Lord. Now, if he draws all men, every child of Adam, why so many in hell? Why is so many drawn away by their own lust? Why is so many drawn away by their own covetousness? Why are so many drawn away by the love of money? Why are so many drawn away with pride? They say, well, Christ. The question is, can he draw to himself? Now, the meaning of this morning, if you notice that men is in italics, he says, I'm going to draw all unto me. Now, he's going to draw all of his unto him. Is what he's going to do. He's going to draw them unto him. All this his. Now turn back to the 6th chapter of John. Verse number 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And he's going to raise them up in the last days, isn't he? Verse 45. They shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that is heard and is learned of the Father, cometh unto me. You know, the key this morning is coming to Christ, isn't it? The key is not coming to this church building. The key is not coming to some religion. But the key is coming to Christ, isn't it? He said, I'm going to draw all unto me. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now I've heard preaching on, and I don't know how many times over the years, I've heard people quote the last part of that verse. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's true. But I've rarely ever heard anybody say anything about the first part of it. Have you? Father giveth me, they shall come to me. They shall come. Aren't you glad this morning that the Lord said they shall come and you came? You shall come. That tells us that there's no failure with Him. Thine are mine and I'm glorified in them. If I be lifted up, what's going to happen? He says, I'm going to draw all unto me. There's His grasp. There's His hand. There's His drawing power. And it's mighty. Mighty. I will draw. Now, man, by persuasion, has never drawn anyone. Man, by his allurements, has never drawn anyone. Man, by his promises, has never drawn anyone. But Christ says, I will draw. He takes hold of sinners and draws them. I tell you, He drew you out of deep waters. You was drowning. You was in the deep waters of sin. He drawed you out. You was in the miry clay. Sinking. He drawed you out. You was in the life of sin. He drawed you out. He drawed you out of the world. He drawed you to that of repentance and drawed you to that of His forgiveness. He drawed you to peace. You know the world is looking everywhere for peace. The Bible says Christ is peace. He's that peace. You can close your eyes in death. He's that peace that you can live in this world. And it's a marvelous thing. And the Lord lays hold upon one. And they bow before Him. They fall at His feet. There's His powerful grace. Christ says, I will draw. I will draw. And that should be our prayer this morning for our loved ones. That Christ would draw them. That should be our prayer as we would stand and proclaim God's word to those that sit under the word, that God would draw them. It's His Spirit. We're nothing. We're just clay. We know that religion draws and There's so many things that it draws to and ways that it draws, but I want you to know this morning, Christ, when he draws to himself. That's the difference. I know people, they're drawn to religion. It's large denominations, it's all about religion. But this Bible says that Christ draws to himself. It's to him. He's the attraction. It's his person. It's his glories. It's his attributes that we're drawn to. We're drawn to him that has all power in this world. We're drawn to him as Isaiah speaks of him, who that he is. We're drawn to his grace, his mercy. And I tell you, those that he draws, it's Christ. He's dear to the soul. Dear to us. The Bible says, unto you that believe, he is precious. Precious. Our gaze is upon him, our Lord, his glories, the things of Christ, what he reveals unto us, his grace, his great love. One of my favorite verses of the scripture is this: I've loved you with an everlasting love. In loving kindness, I've drawn you to myself. God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Can it be any better than that this morning? His everlasting love. There's a cord that can't be broken. That which is of man can be, but this is a cord of God's love. Of the Holy Spirit, the Son's love, the very deity. And there's no failure, and there never will be one. I'll draw all unto me. Here again, it's to his glory. And most of what we see today is of the creature. And the difference between that of a natural religion and a supernatural is that who's exalted? Who's exalted? Is it man or Christ? We put down man and put up Christ. He must be lifted up above all. This salvation that he gives is a sovereign gift. He is lifted up. It's a great salvation. It's suited to sinners. When we take our place as sinners, it's suited to us. And he saves us. It's all to his glory. He must reign. It's to his glory. He brings us into the one fold, and there's one shepherd and one Lord. And what a verse. He says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, talking about the cross, he says, I'm going to draw all unto me. Thus he said, signifying what death he should die. Our salvation was when he is lifted up. we see him. He says, I'm going to draw all unto me. I tell you, we're thankful this morning of his drawing power. We is drawn away by everything else. And he came in his power. And he's drawn us. We had to have it. We needed it. Aren't we thankful? He spoke to our hearts. He showed us himself as Savior. Showed us himself as Lord. We call him Lord. That's who he is. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're thankful. We also can think about that he is a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But he came. Went to this cross. You know that drawing power has lasted through the generations. And I don't know how long this old world is going to last, and it doesn't make any difference. But as long as it does, that's his drawing power. He's going to draw his people to himself. He's precious to those that see him. They see him. They bow before him. He's more than anything else. He's the precious Lord. We're thankful that he's had it drawing power. He draws. And that's our prayer for those that are lost, that he would draw to himself. Thank you.